In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Tomorrow, the October 4th, is traditionally the feast of Saint Francis of Assisi. And even though liturgically we're going to celebrate the 27th Sunday ordinary time because of the primacy of Christ, and yet we take advantage of the feast of Saint Francis of Assisi to meditate or reflect on a beautiful virtue that he reminds us, and that is the virtue of poverty and detachment. Saint Jose Maria, the founder of Opus Dei, encouraged us to consider this most important virtue in Christian life, the virtue of poverty. Well, a little bit of historical background. Saint Francis was born on the 12th century, around 1182-1181, to a wealthy merchant family in Assisi in Italy. And as a young man, Francis led a rather worldly life, carefree and typical among many young people. A biographer wrote that he squandered his time in trivialities. In 1202, Francis joined in a battle against the city of Perugia, full of dreams of military victory or glory. But then he was captured in that battle. He was captured, and for 1 year he was in prison. It took a year for his father to arrange a ransom. He fell sick, and so when he was back in his family, he was recovering. And at the same time, there began an inner transformation in Francis, who was now in his early 20s. And he experienced one of those days, dreams and visions. One day, as he prayed in a dilapidated church of St. Damien, he heard Christ say three times from the crucifix, "Francis, go repair my house, which, as you can see, is falling apart." Francis took that vision literally, and so he set out to repair, renovate the church. And for that, he needed to raise funds. So he sold a lot of the properties or goods of his family without asking permission from his parents. And so his father, when he learned about that, he was furious, and his father kind of forced him, dragged him to the bishop, asking him to pay for those things that he sold. But Francis, in a very dramatic fashion, calmly told his father in the presence of the bishop that, "Until now, I have called you my father, but now I can say in all honesty, our Father who art in heaven." And so Francis walked out of the cathedral in order to become a hermit. And in his words, to be alone in solitude and silence to hear the secrets which God would reveal to him, to me. And so Francis of Assisi began to live a life of humility, of detachment, of compassion, of love. rejecting materialism and worldliness, he lived a virtuous life and honored the dignity of everyone, especially the outcast, the poor, the marginalized of society. It was a period of affluence in Europe, especially in Italy. But there were a lot of corruption as well, materialism, and the common people, the Catholics, the lay, they were indifferent and materialistic. And so Francis began a religious revival of Christian Europe. And very soon, a lot of people, including moneyed, wealthy people, men and women, rich ones, they followed him. They were inspired by his message, bearing witness to the evangelical poverty. Now, we're not exactly called to live the kind of life or the poverty that Francis, the Franciscans live. It takes a very singular vocation, a call from God to have that kind of life. Nevertheless, we are invited to live the virtue of detachment and poverty according to our state in life. And in a sense, in many ways, our times today are similar to those of Saint Francis, in a sense that, well, perhaps even worse, you know, we live here in New York, the financial capital of the world. And so there is a frenzy to accumulate, amass wealth, a strong current of consumerism and greed and excessive love of comfort. I remember having read years ago, Time magazine came out with a survey or setting the index of happiness of American people. And well, success in life is equated with wealth or material comfort. Well, that's the irony in our modern world, because happiness or success in life is associated with having more things, more possessions, more greater savings in the bank, or more investments, perhaps having overbeing. So, being, which is it points to the essence of man, the core of our being, and so possessions are given importance over character building. Where just the reverse is true. What is important in life really is our attitude, our virtues, and especially among them, the virtue of detachment and poverty. You know, things are important. We do need things. One of the fundamental rights of man is the right to private property. We need things, I mean, clothes, our phone, a car, perhaps. We need to have a house. It's normal that people would work to earn income and have the basic, because it's a requirement to live human dignity. But having said that, let's keep in mind that the things that we have or that we own, they do have an instrumental character. They are means for us to serve, to function in society. They are not ends in themselves. And so, and yet, because of our disordered tendency, because of our human frailty, we all have that inclination to attachment. But then the gospel tells us, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but suffered the loss of his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? So there is therefore the primacy of the spiritual over the material. of spirit over matter. What the Lord asks of us is that we turn from false idols and worship the Lord as He is. It's good to examine ourselves, whether we do have, other lords? I mean, nowadays people worship money or pleasure or sex or comfort or like material things. They are forms of idolatry, forms of idolatry. On a personal level, it's good to ask ourselves, in the presence of God, now that we are reflecting on the virtue of poverty and detachment, do we get anxious or sad if on occasions we are not able to have, to buy, or to possess the things that we want? I mean, there are many things that we like to have, but we can't have them all the time. So do we give in to anxiety, or are we bothered, are we sad? Or hankering for expensive, you know, gadgets and or luxurious products? Are we craving to have the latest model, the top brand, you know? Well, like a few weeks ago, I got my iPhone 11, and now they're releasing iPhone 12. You know? If you get the iPhone 12, in a few months' time, you have iPhone 13, perhaps. I mean, things are like that, you know? Like that. And yet, if you come to think of it, the things that we have been having for the past years are still useful, generally. Well, that's the market, and kind of capitalizing on man's cravings for comfort. And so, well, Pope Francis tells us in his typical way, down to earth and very, very practical, when we go to buy things, well, of course, we may have to think that I want something that lasts, but at the same time, it need not be the most expensive brand. No? So what the Holy Father tells us, it need not be the most expensive brand. Do we tend to accumulate things, personal things in our closet, in our drawer, you know, things that we may not be using because they're not useful, and yet we want to have them, to keep them? What for? Or the tendency, one of the capital sins of man, to fall into envy because he has a better car, has a better house, he lives there in an expensive apartment or whatever. No? So, well, it's good to examine ourselves because the heart tends to cling to these material things. It is actually the first of the Beatitudes, the eight Beatitudes that our Lord preached. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor here means those who have the heart of a poor one and those with the soul of a poor. It is a great paradox of Christian life. To be rich in the eyes of God, one has to be poor in spirit. That means detached and the person willing to practice self-control. The first beatitude, it is not a coincidence that the Lord, you know, put it the first among the eight, because in a sense, it is the foundation of all the others. It contains the rest of the Beatitudes. It paves the way to true freedom. Freedom of the children of God. Freedom from attachments. From the fetters of earthly things. Freedom to love God and to serve Him wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. So that spiritual poverty awakens in our hearts that thirst for God, hunger for God. Perhaps personal experience tells us that when our thoughts, our concerns, our desires are centered on material things, it's kind of hard to pray, to concentrate, I mean, to develop at least that the habit of living in the presence of God. Whereas if we live that detachment, I mean, we have things, but we're not kind of attached to them. And so there is freedom, there is joy, there is peace. And we are able to pray, to connect with God, because you can't serve God and mammon, the gospel tells us. At the heart of the gospel, and of the person of Christ, is the mystery of poverty. That is the absolute, essential, key element to understanding the Christian logic of St. Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, when he says, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." That spiritual poverty is essential, I'd say, conditio sine qua non, for our spiritual life to grow, to gain traction, to really be constant and deep intimacy with Christ. In other words, that spiritual poverty, or the poverty in spirit, is necessary for us to become holy, to become happy. The person who is truly spiritually poor and is detached is able to receive the grace of the Holy Spirit, of the Lord. You know, years ago, I used to work as a chaplain of a school for boys there in Manila. And one December, typically the kids would have their Christmas party. And so the school collectively decided to do some outreach project program. And so instead of having this typical Christmas party, exchange gifts, we said, why don't we invite a public school, typically poor district or the city. And so we wrote to the principal and told them that we're inviting you, all your students, to join us in our campus for a Christmas trip. And so they were very happy. Well, and then we told our boys that on that day, you please bring some items that we can give as a gift to your fellow students. It can be clothes or toys. Well, need not be really very expensive one, but you know, that's things that would be meaningful, make them happy. And so true enough, the day came, and so as they were entering early in the morning the campus, you can see people bringing some goodies, chocolates, or toys. But there was a boy, I think grade six, in the sixth grade, he came with his bike, mountain bike. And then I asked him, "Hey, you're not going to give that, right?" "Oh, yes, Father, I thought of, you know, donating this. I mean, well, it's too expensive. It need not be like that. It's okay. I have told my father." "Are you sure?" "Okay, yes." "Why, you don't like your bike?" Well, and he paused for a moment and said, "No, actually, Father, I like it. I like it so much. And I kind of getting attached to it. So I thought, you know, it would be good to make somebody happy with this." Well, I kind of learned from this boy, you know, actually I like it so much, but I'm kind of getting attached to it. So, so there. Well, a lesson from, you know, of detachment. Well, and he said, "Don't worry, Father, because my dad can buy 20 bikes. I mean, they're a very rich family." And but the essence is the heart, detachment of the heart. And it's not just detachment for the sake of detachment. It's actually for us to be able to serve, to be able to love the Lord, to be able to experience the joy and peace of Christ. Because the most important thing, after all, in this world is intimacy with the Lord, sanctity. And so it's one of the virtues, not the only, obviously, not the only virtue. And all the virtues, Christian virtues, are kind of very interrelated to each other. Piety, diligence, holy purity, humility, and all this. But of course, also that poverty in spirit. In the scriptures, the poor person is one who is sorrowful, suffering, precarious, humbled. The poor person is someone who can no longer count on anyone, on any human support, but God alone. Lacking any help on this earth, preyed upon by distress, often the object of disdain by the rich and the powerful, the poor person has only one last recourse: to cry out to the Lord. Eventually, the poor man will experience God's goodness and tenderness. So the negative reality, because poverty in itself is not something, may not be something desirable, but what is negative becomes a source of growth, is transformed into something very, very positive. All the richness of God's mercy are extended to the poor person so that he or she comes to enjoy true knowledge of God. And therefore, poverty is not just a factual condition, but it is a state that slowly, little by little, an interior, it evokes an attitude, an inner attitude of humility and openness to God, of confidence and hope in His mercy. Cast your worries on the Lord and He will take care of you. So while in some passages of the Bible, Old Testament, poverty is linked to material conditions, but not always. Both the Old and New Testament contain many passages about the spirit of poverty of rich people. There are many wealthy people who practice poverty in spirit. Wealthy individuals who are kind-hearted. You know, Saint Jose Maria, the founder of Opus Dei, our father, he knew what it meant to work with the poorest and the most miserable members of society. He was in Madrid. We are in the years 1920s and 1930s. And he spent countless hours serving the poor and the sick in the outskirts, suburbs of Madrid. Often he was accompanied by, university students, young people like you. And these visits to the poor, to accompany them, to give them comfort, to serve them, to cleanse them, to give them something, kind of helped those students to grow in the virtue of charity. And there, Saint Jose Maria saw clearly that detachment is above all a spiritual attitude. So it's not only the absence of material goods. Poverty of spirit is not exactly the same as material want. But again, it's the love of God, an attitude of generosity, of kindness. But yes, having said that, It is important to have a material detachment as well as a manifestation of our inner poverty in spirit. Saint Jose Maria, when he died on the 26th of June 1975, he had very few personal belongings that they could gather his stuff in 3 or 5 minutes. He had some books, his clothes, undergarments, cassock, a pair of shoes, rosary, crucifix, a little more. Why? Because, well, he lived with simplicity. And even though all through his life, throughout his life, he would receive gifts, donations, but he would give them away. He would give them as gifts as well. And nothing for himself, nothing for himself. And if you read the biography of saints, you notice that one of the things, like, of course, they have like different charismas or experience, backgrounds, but one of the common things among them is that they are detached from material things. A life of simplicity, sobriety, poverty of heart is really the freedom that is present in receiving everything freely and of giving everything freely as well, setting aside our egoism, me, mine, myself, I, and all its pretensions. It means dying to self, a radical detachment that leads us to the perfect transparency of God's actions, and to the joy of receiving, giving freely. Although it takes a long time, and it requires effort, a lot of effort to attain that inner freedom. And oftentimes we need to renew. And so there's a gradual transformation in our way of relating to God, to other people, to ourselves, to material things. So let us be aware of sometimes a very subtle tendency of greed or attachment creeping into our hearts, our soul. Well, that's why it's important to examine ourselves, our conscience, quite often. And sometimes a brother of ours, a friend of ours, will have to point things out to remind us with a fraternal correction. When we are in love with the Lord, when there is piety, and so we would not feel, we would not hanker for this and that, we would be happy because, you know, in the words of St. Teresa of Avila, solo Dios basta, only God really satisfies, only God, only the Lord can fill the longings, the most profound yearnings of the human heart. Lord, you have created us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests on you, the words of St. Augustine. We are able to pray more, to attain great heights of sanctity, of contemplation. We can be in the middle of the world and yet not worldly, detached from it. Deeply spiritual and yet immersed in the world, loving the world passionately. Because that is our goal as Christians, to restore all things in Christ, instaurare omnia in Christo. In the middle of the world, and yet not worldly. A paradox, but that is what it means to be a saint in the modern world, in a modern world. We conclude this meditation. We turn to our Blessed Mother. She lived a simple and humble life there in the Holy Family of Nazareth, without fanfare, without luxury, but full of joy, full of peace, and happiness because, well, Our Lady was always with Jesus, and in that sense, she possessed the only one who can satisfy, who can truly make us happy. To have the Lord, to have Our Lady, is to have everything that we need. Holy Mary, our hope, Mother of Christ, pray for us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.